Technorama episode 465, Gravitational Surfing.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where can I get a gnarly surfboard and catch some of those gravitational waves I've been hearing about?
Over there, in the media corner.
$25?
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening or watching Technorama, live long and perspire. Thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, all dapper and ready to go. And the guy wearing the t-shirt must be Craig Stapp. How are you, Craig?
Hey, I got a t-shirt too.
Hey, I'm much more comfortable than you are.
That's right.
I'm the penguin. I'm the new penguin.
The nude penguin?
Nude penguin. Careful.
Nice.
Aren't all penguins nude?
Maybe. Yeah.
Also joining us in the binary studio this week is the immutable.
Hey, it's Michael O'Renery.
I lied. I can mute him.
That's right.
Yes. Well, I haven't been here forever. It's been a long time.
I think you brought the Dalek over the last time you were here.
Yeah, probably.
And he's got two whistles and an MIB badge.
I saw that. You're dressing up the Daleks. That's great.
It's a disguise.
Well, it's for some reason our schedules kept not meshing last several months. It's like...
I'm on vacation.
Like, then no, I get sick and you guys are going and...
Truth is, Michael was like just ran out of excuses.
No, I don't know. I don't need excuses.
I got my other leg cut off this week.
Nah, I really don't do excuses. If I don't want to come over, I don't come over. I'll just tell you, no, I don't feel like it. Screw it.
He knows how to break in even when we're not here. I don't know why he doesn't come over more often.
That's right.
Feed the cats and clean the litter box, will you?
Yeah.
Let's continue on with the show. This week we have Keeping Your Eyes Peeled. Ow. We're going to get into that one. An old favorite, Played a New Way, and reading, writing, and recursion. It's the new school. Stick with us.
Hey, we're not rocket scientists. They are. It's a Pac-Man ass tattoo.
You will see someone's posterior not disgustingly displayed.
I always think of Patty and Selma on The Simpsons.
Well, it's not a high-res butt, kids. You could end up like Craig. Why is that the example everybody uses?
I don't know. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchain.com. Send audio comments.
Have you been drinking tonight? Leave the podcasting to the professionals.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Oh, hey, this thing's on.
That was weird.
What's that?
I just got done watching the entire series of Battlestar Galactica, and there's Ron Moore.
Very nice. We have more craziness that you may recognize.
We've been watching your watching habits.
A little more timely.
Mm.
Let's do the history thing, because it's always fun. We didn't roll for initiative. Have you been here since we started rolling for initiative?
Yes, okay. I've been there since then.
All right, Craig, you got your D20?
You're right here.
Oh, jeez, I got a 1.
Oh, you're up.
I got a 19.
I got an 11.
All right. Craig, Mike, Chuck. Here we go. I'll just announce the date, and Mike can take the first bullet item. How's that? Is that big
enough
for you?
Yeah.
You got your new spectacles on.
Well, I'm having a weird... my eyes are weird tonight, but I'll fight it. It's all good.
As opposed to any other night?
Well, I'm kind of seeing double tonight, which is weird.
Here we go.
I think I got a glare off my glasses.
On this day in history for March 2nd, 2016.
It was
Craig.
On this...
No, yeah, Craig. Sorry.
Wait. Come on, man. I rolled.
You.
It was on this date in 1498 that Vasco da Gama's fleet visits the island of Mozambique.
Your turn.
My turn. Mendoza, Argentina is founded by Spanish conquistador Pedro del Castillo on this date in 1561.
That same date in 1791, long-distance communication speeds up with the unveiling of a semaphore machine. I'd love to see that. In Paris.
And the Bank of England issues the first £1 and £2 banknotes 219 years ago today.
People had to wear baggy pants from then on.
They were heavy.
United States Steel Corporation is founded as a result of a merger between Carnegie Steel Company and Federal Steel Company, which became the first corporation in the world with a market capital over $1 billion on this date in 1901. Wow,
that's huge for 1901.
That is big.
$1 billion.
My turn. 83 years ago today, the film King Kong opens at New York's Radio City Music Hall.
And it was 67 years ago today that Captain James Gallagher lands the B-50 Super Fortress Lucky Lady 2 in Fort Worth, Texas, after completing the first nonstop around-the-world plane flight in 94 hours and 1 minute.
That's pretty fast.
That is very fast. The first automatic streetlights are installed in New Milford, Connecticut on this date in 1949.
It was 47 years ago today in Toulouse, France. The first test flight of the Anglo-French Concorde is concluded. 47 years ago.
The Concorde went up?
That was almost 50 years ago. That's incredible.
Didn't I just read that they were talking about bringing them back?
Yeah. Concorde 2. Yeah, they've got new engines that are much quieter. And the only thing they have to deal with is sonic booms now.
T. Morris's kid?
Yeah.
That's right. Also on this date in 1972, the Pioneer 10 space probe is launched from Cape Canaveral, Florida, with a mission to explore the outer planets.
Wow, 72.
Uh-huh.
Holy cow. That same date, 1983, compact discs and players are released for the first time in the United States, and music's gone downhill ever since.
They had previously only been available in Japan.
Yes.
Researchers at Fermilab announced the discovery of the top quark 21 years ago today. We have a follow-up story on that today. Yes.
And in 1998, data sent from the Galileo spacecraft indicates that Jupiter's moon Europa has a liquid ocean under a thick crust of ice.
And a very good possibility that there's life under
Could be. Yep. We'll find out.
Let's peek under the ice.
I think it's your turn for the birthday.
Happy birthdays go to American soldier and politician, first president of the Republic of Texas, Sam Houston, born on this date in 1793.
New York City!
New York City!
Also born March 2nd, 1862, Borisovich Golestin. I rolled for this, people.
Okay.
Yes. Finally.
I get the Russian physicist and seismologist.
And the inventor of the PAL color television system, German engineer Walter Brunch. I'm trying to say it without an
I think it was Walter, but okay, go
Walter
ahead.
Brunch.
Walter Brunch was born today in 1908.
Walter Brück.
Yeah, Brück. That's right.
Walter Brück. Happy 80th birthday to... I can't
Harun
read that.
Harun Ahmed.
Hang on. I got a weird glare going on here. Pakistan English teacher and academic.
You engineered this studio. I don't know what you're complaining about.
Well, I got this. Fault, I got a, there's a hole in the light up there, and it's just
excuses.
Hitting me just right.
Yes,
the it's
hitting wind
me just
was
right.
In my eyes.
I got an eyelash in my eye. I couldn't see. It was terrible.
Dr. Beverly Crusher from Star Trek The Next Generation actress Gates McFadden is 67 today. And yes, if you do the math, Wesley Crusher could have been her son.
For reals. And Karen Carpenter of The Carpenters would have been 66 today.
Yeah. Actress Lorraine Newman is 64. Wow. Happy birthday, Lorraine.
John Bon Jovi turns 54. Couldn't resist.
This will hurt your voice there. And finally, former James Bond actor,
Yeah, he's still is. No, well, he's done. That was the last movie.
I know, he's done with him, but
Spectre is the...
That's it.
I don't know.
I'm going out on a limb, and I edited this, so read it.
Daniel Craig is 48. How about that?
And that's the way it was on this day in history, whether you like it or not. March 2nd, 2016. Wow, we almost used up all the music.
But next week, they will back a truck full of cash up to Daniel Craig's house, and we will get another Bond film.
Right.
To his absolute horror, he will not be able to turn it down.
And probably our horror, too. All right, we have some news here, yes?
Sure.
I'm going to pick a random one here.
Good news, everyone!
Okay, no, this is not good news.
No,
Mike,
it's
you
not.
Came up with this
I
one.
I found this, and it was like, holy crap, you've got to be kidding. New Fed, there's a new... Oh gosh. All over the world, people are exploring new ways and areas of body modification, from piercings to implants. People are opting to enhance their looks in various different ways. However, this is probably one of the weirdest,
and
if
most
not
painful.
Probably most painful and possibly the most dangerous, because we have no idea what the long-term effects of this is going to be. Eyeball tattooing.
Yes.
And yes, this is a real thing, folks, not something that people are trying to experiment with, but they're actually doing it.
Yeah, I've heard about this in the past, like in prisons, people doing that.
Right.
Imagine how dangerous that would be.
Oh, absolutely.
Just performing it.
Artist Luna Cobra is the self-proclaimed pioneer of eyeball tattooing. Having more than 8 years experience, he has said to be the first who started it. He wanted to change the whites of his eyes to a bright blue, basically to become a Fremen. He wanted Dune eyes. And I can see the appeal there. However... Yikes.
Don't it make my brown eyes blue?
So he basically says that if you want to pursue this and do it yourself, be prepared. Make sure that you find somebody that actually knows what they're doing, or you could end up blind.
Read the warnings.
As with a
Read
lot
the
of people.
Read
oh,
the
yes,
warnings.
The warnings. According to Cobra, he never trained anyone in the field of eyeball tattooing, and over the years, he has continued to fine-tune his art to
minimize
inner injury and risks. He warns people against going to just anyone for the eye ink, warning that there have been many people who have gone blind after the procedure.
Here's my advice. No.
So if you can, if you want to experience the pain of your life in a non-torture setting, but torture yourself anyway, go get an eyeball tattoo. Sounds great.
Getting an eyeball tattoo is just as painful as you think. The patient has pigment injected into the eyeball so that it, quote, it rests under the eye's thin top layer or conjunctiva, according to the BBC.
Yes.
Hey, looking at that lady with the red eyes, I would look at her and think something was wrong with her.
She just got... Like a head-on collision in a car.
Yeah, but it's extreme enough that it does the job. It gets you noticed, which is what all body modification's all about.
Can't we just go back to contacts?
That's what I was wondering, because get full eye contacts if you want to do it, and it's not permanent. Not to mention the fact that you can go to a job interview and actually get hired.
I would see her and I would think something like she must have met Chris Brown.
Yeah, it's or some sort of accident.
Mike
or
Tyson.
It was a really, really bad night of binge drinking.
All for individualization. I'm not trying to generalize and say everybody should or should not do one of these things. This is just unsafe at this point, in my opinion. It's too risky.
However, it's what I brought up on the Facebook post when I originally found this, is that we're getting so close to transhumanists. And the whole transhumanist movement, which started back in the, I think it's the early 2000s, that
where people were doing the
want to modify, that permanently modify their bodies, basically start to the point where once the technology evolves to the point where it's better than your own physical body, where you can get a mechanical arm that is actually better than the arm you have now. When people start lopping off perfectly good limbs to replace them with tech and become true cyber organisms.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole thing is about, is we're almost there already. we're getting really close to that right now, especially with legs, the prosthetic legs. That that there are a lot of the legs, the spring legs and so forth, which are banned in all of the New York marathon, all the marathons around the world, because they're actually better than the people who have normal legs. They're faster, they're stronger, they can go a lot faster, longer. They can they have an unfair advantage already over natural people.
But they let Oscar Pistorius compete in the Olympics.
Yeah, that was publicity. Different. That was something different.
And look how he turned out.
Exactly.
I did see Oliver Queen shoot an arrow with a prosthetic arm the other night.
You did?
Hey, no spoilers. I'm not caught up yet.
I didn't realize that the new Arrow was out.
Yes,
it
season 3 is halfway through.
It's not on Netflix yet.
Yeah. It was on Legends.
It was on Legends. Okay. I haven't even started the Legends series yet, so don't ruin it.
I haven't either.
Okay. I'm actually enjoying it, by the way.
Okay. Well, cool.
All right. We'll tune into that in a sec. So hold tight. I'm still catching up from like 2 weeks of vacation and a business trip. Hey, we've got the world's cheapest smartphone, and we don't mean just cheap as in quality. It's cheap as in price. Company in India has launched a $3.67 U.S. handheld.
What?
Indian company Ringing Bells is making waves with the tech industry as its latest product, the ridiculously cheap Freedom 251 smartphone, priced at an unbelievable 251 Indian rupees, which is $3.67. Despite the low price, the company is promising to a host of swanky features like 8 gig of storage, 8 megapixel
8 gig
eight
front camera or back camera, 3.2 primary. So it's a little on the low side on the front camera.
So what? I mean, it's on the low side for us because we're so used to our tech evolving and duplicating and tripling, going in triplicate in a year.
There's some skepticism around this because analysts have done the math and they said you can't build this with any less than, say, 2,500 rupees, which if you do the math is... what about $30?
Well, it's probably built into a contract somewhere.
I mean, they'll get their money back
Getting their money out of something else. It's basically the device.
I was looking for that in the article. I did not see anything around a contract.
It's got to be.
Well, surely, if anybody was writing about this and that knew, about the industry, they're going to get their... They would probably present that because they would be getting their money back.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Because you got to connect to something. So, I mean, you have to connect to a network somewhere, and you have to pay something monthly in order to keep the phone going.
The whole thing, to me, smells of rotten fish, because they're using Android Lollipop. They stole the icons from Apple.
What's wrong with that, Chuck?
The package looks a lot like an iPhone 4.
Mm-hmm.
When they sent the analysts a sample phone, it had like the front part whited out. You scrape it off and it's got some other vendor's name under there.
So it's probably used phones.
You call the vendor and they say, we know nothing about this. But yet Ringing Bells is promising that the production models, you can order them now, but they won't ship them yet. The production models will have these features. So it's one of those, if it sounds too good to be true, folks, it probably
is. It could be. I'm not saying that it's not, but at the same time, they might be doing some sort of a model like DirecTV and Dish Network when they started out, basically give them the equipment and then charge them an arm and a leg.
That's true.
And rape them over the coals to keep the subscription going. It's like, okay, great, you got a phone, but you can't do nothing with it until you pay us a
50,000 rupees a month.
A month in order to keep the thing going, exactly, so... Yeah, it looks great on the front end, but they end up taking advantage of you on the other side. Yeah.
And, we're not talking Indian money here, but Motorola had the Moto G, and it was only like $100 and something, but it was like almost a high-end phone. The specs were good enough where it was like, what else do you need, really, if you're just looking for a good phone?
Big difference between $100 and $3.
Yeah. Well, mom's got her.
I'm just saying as far as low-end phones go, but we're talking about this is for Indian market. I don't know this is necessarily in the U.S.
Yeah, I didn't say that it was going to be sold anywhere else at the moment. So keep an eye on it. If you're in India, you may want to look into it. Then again, be aware.
I'd be very cautious.
I would as well.
Don't take my conversation as saying that I'm endorsing this thing. I'm with you. I think there's something possibly hinky there, but
it could shake up the industry and say, look, you guys are overcharging.
Right. It could very well do something to.
Yep.
Make some big differences.
We mentioned Fermilab on this day in history because they discovered the top quark, was it 21 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And now they've discovered a possible new tetraquark. What is a tetraquark, you ask?
Interesting.
It's not the guy from Deep Space Nine.
Oh, man, it was like his cut, his unborn son.
Quark. You're the new Grand Nagus. Fermilab. Fermilab's Tevatron Collider officially retired in 2011 after a long and glorious history, sounds like the Klingons, of scientific discovery. But the data from its final run is still yielding potential exciting results. I didn't realize the Fermilab shut down.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Basically, LHC took over everything.
Yeah, but they were still running some good experiments.
And there's a lot to be said for the smaller colliders.
Weren't they even going to shut that down? Yeah. I think at one point, weren't they going to shut down the Large Hadron Collider?
Well, they shut it down for maintenance.
No, I thought they shut it. I thought it was done, and then they decided they wanted to do some more research.
I have to check.
After the amount of money they spent on that thing had better run for a long damn time. The gross national product of a small country is sitting in that freaking collider.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's a lot of work to use it for a couple of years.
There's no way. That's going to be doing research for a long time.
Physicists from the D-Zero collaboration have announced the discovery of a new particle believed to be part of an exotic family called tetraquarks. What is a tetraquark, you ask?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have understood that mesons are made of two quarks.
Mm-hmm.
Baryons are made of three quarks, and tetraquarks are made of four quarks.
It was theoretical, but we'd never seen one before, and we've been looking for them. So if they actually saw one and found it, that's pretty freaking cool.
I got one on the shelf back here. Hold on.
That's your Fruit Loops. The D-Zero team found the new particle by picking out a unique decay signature from the Tevatron data collected in 2002 to 2011 involving billions of recorded collision events. The signal they found lurking in that data meets the so-called 5-sigma threshold. Blah, blah, science, blah, blah, blah. I love the comment in here that says, scientists draw squiggly lines on paper and claim things.
Things. Look, it works, I swear.
Oh, but we shut the collider down, so you can't prove it.
Yeah. Well, but it at least lays some groundwork for somebody to follow up the research.
Absolutely. And this is another one of those, like the gravitational waves, which we're not going to get into because we're not smart enough, but we've been hearing a lot of news about it. It's proposed a long time ago. In 1964, by Murray Gell-Mann and George Zweig, quarks are currently the smallest known components of matter, usually combining in groups of two or three in the form of subatomic particles.
Mm-hmm.
The proton and neutron, in an atomic nucleus, for instance, are each made up of the combination of three quarks. Quarks come in six different flavors. Can you name them?
Cherry, blueberry.
And Craig is not the science mind on this. It's up, down, top, strange, charm, and bottom.
Charm.
Yeah, they almost sound sort of innuendo at that point.
Well, I was gonna go there, but this isn't Winging It. So. we actually had this conversation on Winging It at one point.
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Lovely. I'm gonna have to go back and listen to what we talked about on Quarks on Winging It.
It sounded like
a cheat code you put on your Nintendo. Up, down, charm.
The cheat code. AABB top charm strange.
And charm. If you can input it correctly, you'll actually get a Higgs boson.
And an extra life.
And an extra life.
Bling. Looking at the listener birthday calendar before we're going to go into our break, we have a couple coming up this week. February 7th, Ben Maddox, a.k.a. Captain Rootbeer, and Caleb from Dancing with Elephants, who must be like 14 years old by this point.
I think it's more like 47 at this point, right?
Well, he was, about 2 or 3, 8 years ago, so he's got to be his 10s or 11s. Oh, my gosh.
Caleb. Okay.
Greg and find out.
I don't
know what Nikolai is older than that.
Dancing with Elephants is.
It was a podcast, a family run podcast.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. February 8th, Ali Zine Youssef, a.k.a. Super Al 1394. Isn't that the FireWire number?
Yeah, that's 1390. Yeah, IEEE, yep.
Okay. We should just call him Super FireWire. And BJ Kiefer, a.k.a. BJK, on February 8th. Happy birthday to all of you. If it's your birthday, we wish you all the best. Hope you have a great day. Spend it with friends and family. Sit around the old radio listening to Technorama. And if it's not your birthday, I mean, if you're not on the calendar, we wish you a happy birthday anyway. Get over to chuckchat.com/wiki and put your name on there. We will give you a shout out the appropriate time of year. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with more insane and crazy stories. So stick with us. We've got hacks and strange stories. We've got several Media Corner things, including a song you will recognize. A little different than what you're used to. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Stop teasing me.
Facebook to introduce more buttons. This is Technorama News. I'm Jack Etherday, filling in for Chip QWERTY, who's moonlighting as a cleaning crew at a local dairy bar. In the wake of Facebook's recent announcement of a dislike button, the company has announced plans for other buttons so people can rate postings, photos, and other content more accurately. Technorama News has gained exclusive access through undisclosed means to the steering committee's project roadmap and found the following items to be added at some point in the future. The maybe button, let's just be friends button, I like you but not like you, I've tried it but never inhaled, I swear he was dead when I got there but like it, and finally reflecting the political election season starting up, the liberal and conservative buttons. Facebook refuses to comment on this recent input. I'm going to click the meh button. Jack Etherday, Technorama News.
I guess
Didn't we do that like 2 years ago?
Yeah, but
it's so timely.
Wait a minute, it was probably four because look what we were talking about.
The political season. I know.
Right.
The timing was brilliant. Only now we have to change the button slightly. I get it. You go to the gym already.
Right.
So now we can use it in another 4 years. Okay, put it back on the shelf.
I'm refusing to use them.
Well, the fact that they came out with the new buttons this last week would just blew me away. I was looking through the audio clips going, perfect. Got it. Done. That made my job easy tonight.
Hey, we're regular Nostradamuses.
Yeah.
Nostrostrostros.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nostradami?
We could predict a herd of elephants running over our own cars. As it's happening.
That's right.
Called coincidence.
Speaking of as it's happening, if you want to watch us live do this show as it's happening, join us Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern time to hear and see everything unedited, live and raw.
It's terrifying. It'll scar you for life.
Yeah. run.
Kind of like watching away. The Kardashians.
Well, it's not that bad.
Nah.
We put more reality into this than reality TV. All right. Join us. You can go to our website, chuckchat.com/technorama. Click on the, what is it, live now? Watch us now. Watch us live.
It's the like you but not like you button.
take this plane to Cuba button.
I like you but not that way kind of button.
Let's take a look at Remember When. Once upon a time, NASA thought we were going to the moon.
Again,
really? Going back to the moon. So this is how NASA imagined futuristic medics on the moon in 1992. I don't know if that's when they pictured us on the moon going back, or if this is when this prediction was made in 92. Mm-hmm. Aside from visiting Mars, space nerds would love to see a permanent habitat on the moon. Consider me skeptical, but what happens when you get to the moon and somebody inevitably needs medical attention? Well, in 1992, this NASA-commissioned illustration from Pat Rawlings sought to illustrate how that might work. From NASA, lunar pioneers will encounter hazards and crises requiring new emergency procedures. Here, an antenna installer fell over a 90-foot escarpment, That's not funny if it really happened to you. And fractured his right femur, responding to the situation on a medevac hopper. Sounds like a drone.
Okay.
Two other lunar-based crew members employ a portable CAT scan device, holographic display, and helmet-mounted heads-up displays, which was pretty revolutionary.
All attached to an iPhone.
They didn't have iTunes in 92.
To determine the to his Bluetooth phone.
Exactly.
After an inflatable Thompson splint is placed on his leg. Wait, where'd they get the air to inflate that Thompson splint? Maybe it's like an airbag. Just compress two chemicals, make a gas.
One of those little CO2 canisters you had in your BB gun.
The semi-conscious technician is transported back to the base, strapped onto the side of the hopper. So they were thinking about it. You know what I think of when I see this picture? I picture Laura Burns' avatar on Facebook.
I know.
Where she's looking through that.
Familiar.
You know, it's just, it's one of those things. It's the technology has evolved beyond what they were able to see back then. So I'm sure that this is updated and changed a lot.
That's why we love these retro future things.
But that's what's really cool.
But I tell you what, they had some foresight to come up with the heads-up displays, stuff like that.
92 was real early for a heads-up. Yep.
Do you see they were... Oh, anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent. Sorry.
Well, we are all about tangents.
I was just going to say that Space 1999, did you see that they're talking about remaking that to Space 2099?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That looks interesting.
And the hope will all be dead by then.
We're going to get Ben Reginton in here in a minute. He's going to start... Hey... You know what I heard? I think they reported on it.
Want to give it a shout out to our Patreon patrons, Kyle Nishioka, Mike Wills, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, Chad D, Alexis Duran, and Ben Vaughn. Thank you to all of you people. You know what the cool thing about Patreon is? You only pay if we produce. And February is going to be a pretty darn cheap month for you people. So consider yourself lucky.
We're doing a podcast every day this week.
Oh, yeah. To make up for it.
That's right.
With the stories we've collected, we probably could.
Right. Just hey, if you want to get in on the action, though.
If you want to get on the action, tell them where to go. I mean, tell them how to get there.
Yeah, you go to,
chuckchat.com/Patreon.
That's right.
You made the URL, silly boy. Don't look at me.
I haven't interacted with it in 3 weeks.
It's the only way I remember to get there because it's a crazy long URL anyway.
Yeah, so, yeah, go to chuckchat.com/Patreon and it'll take you right there and you can sign up. And it's very easy. We appreciate it.
As little as a dollar a show. And we've got some special material that we record after this show is done that we release only for our Patreon people. And I'm thinking about a special end of year gift. So get in on the action and you can get your gift too. We won't tell you when our fiscal year ends.
Can I get it too?
Huh?
Can I have the gift too?
Yeah, I'm sure we have a lot of leftover those books that keep coming to guy.
Yeah.
See, Mike used to review books and there's books that still keep showing up and neither of us know who this guy is. But there's books that show up. I don't know. I don't read them. They're just collecting. But I'm willing to give away some books if you want to be a Patreon person.
Hey, the metric ass ton of books that used to show up here has come down significantly. So... we had to get a pickup once a year just to take the books down to book months.
Hey,
are you still reading a lot, Mike?
About the same. As much time as I have to read.
More like e-readers or are you doing the hard copy stuff?
I do mostly on just on the computer stuff now.
Okay.
You know?
And what are you reading? What's in your book?
What's in my
What's book? In your Kindle?
What's in my Kindle? Right the Star Trek manual. I've been going through that again. Technical manual.
The Enterprise or something?
The Enterprise D technical manual. Yeah, I've been going through that and kind of getting brushed up on a few things because it goes towards my other hobby that I'm doing now.
Building a starship?
actually, if you're on Facebook and following me in the N-scale thing, we had that big conversation about doing a true N-scale Enterprise, which would be phenomenal. Because in N-scale at 160 to 1 scale, that makes that Enterprise 6 feet long.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Sweet.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. That would be cool.
Hey, Chuck, did you skip over a couple of articles in the story?
Yes, our lovely and intelligent video engineer has just handed me a note that says, we missed The Hacks and Strange Stories. We have a story that Mercedes is now replacing robots with humans. They're going around saying, kill all
robots. They're insourcing.
But they've been doing that for a long time. This has to be a specialized one, huh?
This is, we've heard stories about how robots are taking our jobs. While that may be true, Mercedes-Benz is replacing some of its high-tech workers with real-life humans. As it turns out, robots can't keep up with the degree of customizations that the automaker offers in its S-Class sedans. To be fair, there are four different types of caps for the tires alone, not to mention options for carbon fiber trim and temperature-controlled cup holders. It gets ridiculous.
Temperature-controlled cup holders? Really?
Would you like your cup holder at 72 degrees or 94 degrees?
Hey, I'm going to sue Mercedes for getting my coffee too hot and spilling it in my lap.
I was just going to say that. You stole where I was going with that.
What a little haywire.
You know what they
coffee.
Say? Great minds think alike.
Yeah, there you go.
Simple minds have obvious thoughts. One of my favorites from a friend of mine. Okay. The changes come at a time when a number of companies are replacing people with robotic devices. International Federation of Robotics. Sounds like something.
They're suing to keep their
sounds
robots.
Like, yeah, Bender's Club or something is union.
Hey, let me tell you
so the robots can have a union, but we can't? Wow.
No, this is not a robotic union. It's a federation. They released a survey today stating that 1.3 million of the industrial robots will be in use by 2018. In fact, the number of those machines rose 43% in a year between 2013 and 2014. However, as Mercedes continues to expand the options available on its vehicles, the robots aren't able to adapt to the new tasks. They're better suited for doing the same jobs repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
So this must be, you know, too many options and too many permutations that they're just getting confused.
So the robots were laid off, and you can go talk to them down at the robot bar as they are all sitting around complaining
they're serving
about
drinks. They put the bartender out of me. No, I did not want the 10W-40.
Isaac, remember?
Can I have that with WD-40 on the top, please?
Remember the robot bartender Isaac?
From the Love Boat on Futurama.
Yes.
We also have a story from Doug in Australia. He says that Canberra is turning to
spin backwards.
Greener asphalt. Canberra is using printer toner cartridges to make asphalt.
I think the color's off because that looks like black to me.
It's a black toner cartridge. What part about black don't you get?
Well, when you start adding all the colors together, it becomes black. So
right.
Hey, no, it says greener asphalt. I said it looks black to me.
Okay,
never mind.
ACT Roads is evaluating the recycled asphalt, which is manufactured in the state-of-the-art facility operated by the Downer Group at Hume. Quote, "What we are doing is reducing the amount of stuff we dig out of the earth," said Managing Director Ghana Varendiran. Old asphalt removed from existing roads makes up 30% of the overall mix, and toner powder from empty printer cartridges contributes a further 0.5%. So that's a minuscule amount, but toner's pretty potent stuff.
Yeah, and it adds up fast. I mean, 0.5% of all the toner that's out there, there's a lot of damn toner out there. So
because all the cartridges are not empty.
Right.
Wait a minute. So, okay, toner, I would say, would we have, I mean, just throwing this out here, would we have more toner back in the 90s to early 2000s than now?
There's still a lot of toner out there. A lot of
copiers.
A lot of copiers, a lot of printers, a lot of those printer copier things. It's those recycled toner cartridges that's replacing some of the bitumen that's been traditionally used in the asphalt. And that's
anything that reduces is fine. As long as they can find a cost-effective way to do it, I'm all for it.
Could save 100 tons of carbon emissions per year.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to have the same properties because you don't want something that's going to break down in 2 years, 5 years earlier or 10 years earlier than you expected.
Are they grinding the entire cartridge? That's what I want to know.
No, because I think they're just using the toner, not the plastic from the cartridge.
Because, I mean, well, if they're running it at 170 degrees, 130 degrees, 170 degrees, yep. which I'm reading right here,
yep.
They could use the plastic because if you ground it up into the small...
That might add some durability.
And add some durability to it. Plus, it's also adding to the... ability to reduce the waste.
Yep. Huh. We'll have to ask them. I know that certain roads, like tracks that the runners run on, or what do they call that? Track and field kind of tracks. They've used recycled tires.
Recycled tires is big.
It gives it a nice, cushy.
Yeah, recycled tires is nice, and they also use glass too. Ground up glass.
Playgrounds use recycled tires.
The ground up.
Did you say ground up glass?
Yeah, I'm serious.
In the tracks?
In the asphalt. They use.
Oh, in the asphalt. Yes.
Yes, they use ground up grass and glass.
Don't stop running.
No, don't run barefoot.
Just not throwing just ground glass on the top of the car. No, mixed into the asphalt.
Next, we're running on hot coals.
Yeah. Legos. The Legos Firewalk.
Hey, you thought the mud run was a challenge.
That's right.
Let's do the media corner. I have a song for you.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
And videos and things.
In the media corner.
All right, we beat the things to death, and I'm almost done saying that in my life. We have the Imperial March. You know, everybody's familiar with the Imperial March. Dun, 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 dun.
Downbeat and into your face kind of thing.
Right. It's very formidable. Well, if you turn it into a major key, it sounds a little different. It almost sounds happy. Listen, we'll play some for you.
I didn't listen to this. Here he comes.
And
yay!
Lucas can't get us.
There's a college somewhere that has this as a fight song. You know it.
This would be a good fight song. When they come off of this first part, it sounds totally different, though. Like, they took a different tune.
Absolutely.
I'm not a music guy.
So in absolute contrast to this, the creepiest song that I cannot get out of my head right now is Que Sera in a minor key.
Really?
That came off of Dead Like Me, because we were rewatching Dead Like Me, and it's actually in one of the episodes.
Ooh.
And it is the freakiest, creepiest damn song that you've ever heard, and I can't get it out of my head. I'll run through the day, and every now and then that thing will pop up, and it's just wow. It's weird. It should have clowns and Stephen King somewhere. It's that creepy.
What was that? They did somebody slowed down the Imperial March to like crawl, literally, and it sounded even more formidable. It's like, what in the world? It's like,
interesting. I haven't heard that one.
You're right. This does sound like a college fight song.
Yeah, it sounds like a college song.
Go Cougars!
You can see a band out in the field. Yeah. You can see a band out in the field doing
especially
their
right
march.
There where it's doing the step ups.
Go Stormtroopers! Rah, rah,
this week at Imperial University, the
Banthas are taking the field. Yay!
We're the Sith. Yes, we are. We have our own Death Star.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
I could probably do that, give it a little more time. All right. You've read Ready Player One, right? Craig, you've read Ready Player One. I read Ready Player One. Technically, I listened to it, but that's okay. Narrated by Will Wheaton. It's a fun story. Well, we finally know who's starring in Steven Spielberg's Ready Player One.
Yeah.
His adaptation of Ernie Cline's Ready Player One just found its biggest piece. Ty Sheridan. You go, who?
Yeah.
He will be playing Cyclops in this summer's X-Men Apocalypse.
Ah.
He's set to play the lead character of Wade, a.k.a. Parzival, in Ready Player One. Deadline reported the news of the casting. Sheridan joins Olivia Cooke, who will play Artemis.
Okay.
And Ben Mendelsohn, who will play the villainous Nolan Sorrento.
Mendelsohn, I know that name.
I don't have info on him.
Ben Mendelsohn, I know that name.
The problem is, we gotta wait until 2018 for this movie.
Oh, for crying
out
loud.
Yeah, I'm getting a little sick of it too. If you don't recognize Sheridan, that's because he's mostly been flying under the radar. His big breakout was Mud. He got a major role in X-Men Universe as the young Cyclops, and last year he starred in Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
Hey, I'm okay with somebody that's a little unknown.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, what's wrong with that?
That's how we find new stars, if he does a good job. And I don't think Spielberg can mess it up too badly. I think it's a pretty good story for a screenplay adaptation.
I think this is tailored for Steven Spielberg.
Because of the 80s thing?
Yes, absolutely.
All the pop culture
I think he can nail this. I think he can nail this.
I think so too. I think there's a better chance of success than if you say gave it to Shamalima Ding Dong.
Absolutely.
I had to throw that out there.
My only concern is all of the major pop culture stuff that they can get that in there. I'm sure they can get everything.
Licensing is going to kill them on that stuff.
Ultraman. I mean, you know, that's in there. You name it.
The problem is I'm terribly afraid that by the time this comes out, that we may have turned a corner on that type of movie, and it may hurt. Because if you look at the lineup that's coming for comic book films, I mean, there is a glut of them. Yep. And yes, I am really looking forward to Olivia Munn in the next X-Men. I think she's going to be fantastic as Psylocke. I'm dying to see Doctor Strange.
Yep.
But the rest of them, maybe Civil War, Captain America, maybe.
I'm excited about that, but the rest of them is Jessica Jones, Iron Fist. That stuff's going to be coming out on
Netflix. I'm more excited about that than I am actually the movies that are coming out, because it sounds like the next Avengers is going to be such an unmitigated mess of of so many different storylines and trying to keep all the story arcs together. I understand why Joss basically said, screw you, I'm not doing it. I get it. Trying to keep all of those balls in the air and make a coherent movie is going to be next to impossible.
Hey, I'll give Marvel props for pulling it all together so far. I mean, I am with you. But yeah, you're right. That may be the straw that breaks the camel back, because everything will be coming together at that point.
Well, look at Ant-Man. I mean, that was really a meh movie. I mean, I own it. I've seen it a couple times, but
I absolutely
don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it, but it was not the, oh my God, I've got to see this kind of movie. That was one that I said, I don't need to see it in the theater. I can wait for it to come out.
The metaphor of the straw that broke the camel's back is very appropriate, because you not only have to keep up with what's the latest Hulk movie, Captain America movie, Iron Man movie, because here comes the Avengers and it ties these three or four themes together. You've got to keep up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You've got
Agent Carter.
Agent Carter. You've got
Jessica
more
Jones,
and more
the, Iron
shows
Fist.
And movies that you have to keep track of, because they're all being cross-referenced with each other. I can't keep up anymore.
I put that list out, the ultimate list of viewing the Marvel Universe. Basically, it takes everything that's out up to this point and puts it in a coherent way to watch so that you can watch everything that's in the Marvel Universe. It took us 2.5 months, 2.5 months to watch what was out last year.
Yeah.
That's not including the stuff that's come out, not the new season of S.H.I.E.L.D. that's coming up, all the new movies that are coming up. That was up until not even Ant-Man. Ant-Man hadn't even come out yet. That was just up to Guardians. And it took 2.5 months to go through all of that. I do that again in a couple of years, it's going to take
half a year
to go from the beginning to the end and keep the storyline coherent. That's a lot of content.
That's asking a lot from your viewers.
And not to mention trying to put together a movie that keeps all that history and all of that archive in line.
And yeah, you have to watch them at the right time in the right order.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying. When Avengers 2 came mm-hmm. out? They referenced it in the following week on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Absolutely.
So if you didn't see the movie that week, that show is not going to make much sense, or it's going to have this long,
That's the list
reference.
That I've got. You're going through half of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and all of a sudden in the middle of it, you got to stop and watch a movie. So that you can get all the references that are going to be coming in at the rest of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I have to say, it is incredibly important that you do that.
Right. Because this is what happened to Director Fury. Wait, what happened to Director Fury?
Exactly. Well, not only that, but you see things in both of the shows, not only the movie, but also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They support each other so well that you get a completely different sense. If you just saw the movie and didn't watch all the stuff that led in and came after in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you really miss a big piece of what's going on, and it kind of screws you up for the Winter Soldier. When you go into the Winter Soldier, because there's so much that references back to that you didn't get because you didn't do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and you didn't do the break to get that sense of what's going on in Winter Soldier.
You know, this is the whole point. That's how they're keeping you in the system.
Oh, absolutely.
It's getting to be a heavier bag to carry.
It's brilliant. It's probably one of the most brilliant marketing schemes I've seen since Lucas basically franchised and merchandised the entire world into Star Wars. Yep.
I thought you said Incas. I was like, wow, he's going back in time to
Incas.
From the Incas, yeah. You know that damn raft. That golden raft that was going to get us to
the biggest marketing scheme since then.
That's Incas. Right. They were selling okay, let me get my history cap on. Yeah, right. to find the treasure, to find the gold. From the Incas,
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No. This is actually real.
Cortez's
gold. When they were actually trying to find that, and it was supposed to be linked to that golden raft, and they were making reproductions of that golden raft.
Yes.
For treasure hunting. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a brilliant thing. Just go find Cortez's gold. There you go. Here's a raft.
I found the course of Coronado.
Coronado's gold. That's it.
I'm going to switch gears on you for our last story here real quick.
I do want to say one thing.
Go ahead.
One thing is we've been off for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The last superhero movie I got excited about was Deadpool, and I had such a good time at it.
I haven't seen it yet either.
You haven't?
No, I've been dying to see that one, but I
haven't been near a movie theater in three
you
weeks.
You and me, this week, we need to go this week.
This week.
Well,
this
or what? Sometime.
Yeah.
We've got to go. We've got to go.
We can do that.
Because Lori won't go to movies with me anymore. I can't see movies in the theater anymore.
Okay. Let me see if Scott Tyler has seen it. If he hasn't, we'll go next weekend when he comes into town.
Awesome.
Okay. My quick and dirty Facebook review, which was like two lines, is pretty much sums it up. It's like, it was what I expected, and it was everything I expected to see in the movie. It was Deadpool. It was a great movie. I had a good time watching it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. All right, last story. Chicago requires high school students to take computer science courses. Yes, it's about time. So that's where my reading, writing, and recursion came from.
Nice. Moving right along. I think we're running long, aren't we?
We are. So in Chicago, 41 public high schools already have computer science curriculum thanks to its science and tech-loving mayor's project called CS for All. Now its Board of Education has decided to officially require public school students take computer science classes to graduate. This would be like your mandatory English course or your mandatory mathematics course. They now
foreign language.
A mandatory foreign language, right?
That's actually a fantastic idea.
Yeah. And now I personally don't think you should force mandatory courses on anyone. I should think you should assess what the students
But this is an introductory course. It's not like they're forcing it down on an entire
everybody.
Thing. Absolutely. And it's not. But an introductory course, because everybody in the world needs basic CS.
They need some basic computer skills.
Absolutely.
Because even if your interest is auto mechanics and you say, oh, I'm just going to turn a wrench and run my own auto mechanic shop, who's running your spreadsheets for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's going to set up your systems for you? If you're going to hire that out, well, you're going to eat into your profit margin on your own personal business.
Well, it limits you to get jobs.
It definitely does.
It seriously limits you. Yeah. If you don't have some basic computer skills, you're screwed in this marketplace.
Yeah. We're not saying everybody has to go out and be a Java programmer
for
the rest of their lives.
No, absolutely not. But basic skills are critical.
I agree. So if I ran a school, it might be slightly different. I don't know if I'd require it, but I would assess what the students' interests and talents are and gear it more towards that. But I would certainly have a baseline of things like, here's your minimum math skills you need to have. Mm-hmm. Here's your minimum, and expose some of I hate to use the word academic, but some of the more left brain kids to maybe some of the more right brain things like art.
Well, art especially, yeah. No, I'm with you.
Get them more right-brained.
I know you don't like, mandatory classes, but computers are pretty fundamental nowadays.
They are. You're right. You're absolutely correct.
So I'm
there's an argument to be made, Greg, for doing something a little bit.
I'm with you on this one. This needs to be mandatory.
People should be
I know you're away against it, but it really needs to be, especially just an introductory level. Because if it's just an introductory, it's not like you're forcing them down an entire curriculum of it, but they should have a mandatory on that. Just like they should have a mandatory of music. They should have a mandatory of shop, home ec.
Yes, absolutely. Get them well-rounded.
Get them well-rounded. Yep. Then they can figure out what the hell they want to do in their junior and senior years. Do this in their junior high or in freshman year. Fine.
Kind of like the college degree. You've got your liberal arts courses and then you've got your specialties to do your majors and your minors.
You have to do those in order to graduate college.
And
so
you know what's
not
funny is
difference
sometimes
in high
later in life, those interests that you weren't really interested in become more interesting. Look how history is at our age. My gosh, history is fascinating right now.
Yeah.
I am watching more documentaries and Ken Burns specials.
Oh,
and,
I love them.
And biographies. That's a lot of what my content is right now.
Nerd.
Yeah, it's just fun. You know what? This may sound crazy, but this is my last bullet item in here about my 2 weeks off. It's not about what we did in Hawaii that was all fun and sun and snorkeling. It was the science-y stuff that I found really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Volcanoes National Park, and I learned a lot about volcanoes. Granted, I was probably the most vocal person on the tour bus answering the tour guide's questions.
You know, he's probably like, oh, that guy again.
Who knows what a shield volcano is? Is there anybody else besides Chuck? It was one of those answers.
But I love geology is my porn. I love geology, especially when we're traveling in new states. We go new places. I get fascinated about the geology of the place.
It was a very educational trip, and I got a lot out of it from the science aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this side of the Maui all jungly and this side all scrub brush and deserty?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, that's called a rain shadow.
Absolutely.
That's because the winds come from the northeast and they dump all the rain with it. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. I get it. I know it but it was
the
still God,
the God's like, yes, Chuck, the sky is blue because of the rays from the sun reflecting off the
Go and check out the Maui Irrigation Canal. It's about 74 miles long, was it, that runs pretty much the length of the island, all crooked around. It's a big irrigation canal built in the late 1800s by the sugarcane people.
I was going to say sugarcane.
And they had to figure out how to get 74 miles of irrigation canal through hills and creeks.
It's like the Roman Water Project.
It's a bigger engineering feat than the Hoover Dam. And less recognized. So go and check it out. It's even on Google Maps. But that one blew me away, that was even there, let alone about it. All right, our question of the week as we wrap up this show goes back to On This Day in History. Also, we talked about the CD player you introduced. I want to know, what is the first CD you purchased? Listeners, tell us. Call us on the listener line, 206-222-2428, or send us an email.
I think it was the White Album.
You bought the White Album on CD?
I think the White Album was the first thing I bought on CD.
Craig, do you remember yours?
I was thinking more like Dark Side of the Moon. Well, we're pretty cliche there, aren't we, Mike?
That was vinyl, man. Everybody had that on vinyl. I didn't know anybody had it on CD.
I think it was the White Album first. Because I didn't have any, I had no Beatles on vinyl. And I had to do, I wanted to complete a collection. So
I had a lot of Pink Floyd. I think I remember some Led Zeppelin in there somewhere. But actually, I think the first CD I ever owned was like a compilation CD. It was like a demo. They came with
I hate those.
It had like Dust in the Wind and stuff. You know, it had some cool stuff.
The Columbia Record and Tape Club.
80s fire.
Just to make sure your CD player works. It's Joey.
45 songs on crisp CD.
Truth be told, my first CD is probably a Weird Al Yankovic. I don't know.
It's Joey Goulian.
Who? Yeah, no doubt.
It's his demo tape.
Who? No, I mean, it had real songs on it. I mean, like, you know, ones you'd know, but it was like 7 or 8 songs that you knew. Anyway.
Mine was a little known album by Billy Joel called The Bridge. It came out in 1984. It had 1 or 2 songs on it, but it wasn't one of his bigger, you know, it wasn't like 42nd Street or Glass Houses. Yeah. It was...
Who needs that? I can just stream it right now from Google Music. Here, let me...
That was the first one that I bought. So we want to know what yours is. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Or any of the previous questions, if we're still catching up, give us 3 in a row like Bruce Barr did this week. We'd love to hear from you. We want to know that you're still out there. And still kicking. Mike, thanks for stopping by.
Not a problem. Evidently, I had a lot to say this week. We ran long.
We did run long.
Don't you?
You can always, really? You can always do this in small segments and pause periodically.
There you go.
Craig, give me a binary high five.
1-0-1.
Thank you, everyone, and good night.